You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to The Profile podcast. God calls us to use our influence to share his love and goodness. For some, this is in leadership. I'm Andy Peck, and for the past 19 years, I've been interviewing Christians to find out how to lead better. Taking the initiative isn't always easy, so I hope you'll benefit from this latest conversation. The Profile podcast is brought to you by Premier Christianity magazine. Subscribe today and get full online access and the print magazine every month at premierchristianity.com. We have talked on the show many times about the importance of a leader casting vision for the church, or the charity, or other kind of an organization they're involved in. To some extent, leadership involves encouraging hope-filled attitudes. The future is as bright as the promises of God, and so the Christian needs to be ideally reflecting that glorious reality in the way they lead. However, few leaders have not faced disappointment along the way. In some cases, crushing disappointment that has made them want to give up. It might be disappointment with individuals they work with, have invested time and energy in, or most importantly, disappointment with themselves. And for some, if they're honest, it may be disappointment with God. So what do we do with this disappointment? Well, I was delighted to discover that John Hindley had written a book on this very topic, Dealing with Disappointment, How to Know Joy When Life Doesn't Feel Great. So I figured he might be able to help us navigate this oh-so-crucial aspect of the leadership journey. John is the pastor of Broad Grace Church in Norfolk, in the UK, and is also the author of the best-selling book, Serving Without Sinking. So welcome, John, to the Leadership Show.
Thank you very much, Andy. I'm glad to be here.
So how did you come to write the book, first of all?
It's a great question. I turned 40. And I was kind of reflecting on my life and the sense that things had gone pretty well. I didn't have any major sufferings, but there was still a sense of slightly, is this it? A sense of disappointment and things that were okay. And I began to talk to friends, both those who were in Christian ministry and neighbors in the village where I live. And there seemed to be a sense that life, when you're young, it promises a lot. And if you're in your early 20s, you might be looking forward to getting a job, to getting a promotion, to being able to rent a flat or maybe eventually buy a house. You might be thinking about marriage, about family life, about places you would like to travel to. And as you get a bit older, you'll probably find yourself in one of two situations. Either you haven't achieved what you'd hoped, life hasn't turned out as you'd wanted it to, and that's disappointing. Or it has, but it maybe doesn't leave you joyful and satisfied and fulfilled as you expected. And that too is disappointing. So it was reflecting on those sorts of things that made me think, actually, maybe this is an area where we should do a bit more thinking. And particularly the sorts of things, the way I think about it, is not the sort of thing you could ask for prayer for. So if you have a serious health problem, if you have got cancer or another very serious illness, you would obviously ask your church family, friends, your home group to pray for you. If you just have a little bit of a niggling back, it's harder. If there's big problems in your family life, you can ask for prayer. If everything's more or less okay, but you just find it hard work, it's hard to articulate that. It's hard to ask for prayer. So I kind of thought, how do we address that? Nothing's awful. Sometimes things are awful, but there's some great books that really help us with that. There's a lot of thinking in that. But what do we do when nothing is awful, but it's not great either?
Thank you. Now, that's really helpful and understanding the perspective you have on disappointment. And I was fascinated in your first chapter, John, you actually say that disappointment is something that we should almost expect. So talk about that almost a counterintuitive way of starting the book.
Yeah, I thought that in a world that is fallen, a world that is not what it should be, where Adam sinned and turned away from God and brought death and decay, and as Paul says in Romans, futility into creation, we should expect things to be frustrating. And I think that part of the problem with disappointment is our wrong expectations. We live in a world where social media shows us part of the lives of others. And usually it shows the good bit, you know, and that's understandable. We take photos of the delightful family meal. We don't take photos of the squabbles on the way to the cafe. we kind of edit what we show. And we do that, I think, as Christian leaders as well. So I remember a few years ago, we put in a prayer letter, kind of Christmas letter that my wife and I sent, that we were just having a few arguments in our marriage and things weren't always great. And a number of friends got in touch, worried that we were on the break of, or on the edge of sort of breaking up, that things were really bad. We said, no, things are pretty good. They're just not as they should be. And I think often what we do is we present things a bit better than they are. You know, we can't, you know, the missionary always has to write about how the gospel is going out. There's this sort of sense that we project a very good image. Our photos are, everything is the best. And we want to be hopeful. We want to be people who trust in the Lord, who have an optimism, who look for what the Lord is doing, of course. But I think we kind of airbrush out the grind and the tears and the hard bits. And it can leave us thinking, well, everyone else is living this amazing life, whether that's in their family life, in their travels, or in their ministry even. Everything goes well. The Lord blesses what they touch. They're a bit like Midas. Whatever they touch turns to gold. And sometimes I feel that whatever I touch turns to, I don't know, damp and squalid newspaper, something like that.
Okay. Well, thank you. I mean, that's a beautifully honest reflection, John. I mean, in your experience, what might be the kind of disappointment that Christian leaders particularly face?
I think we look at our ministry, I think, often, and I think there's a particular challenge there. I remember when we moved to Norfolk, we moved here 15 years ago for myself to lead a church plant with a small team. And I remember thinking, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the Lord saved 3,000. You know, the Spirit is as powerful. The Lord is as great. The gospel is as good. Maybe the Lord will do wonderful things in rural Norfolk. And it was probably connected with pride, but there is also a sense in which we know God can do these things. We know that He is, we know the gospel is so good. We love the Lord. We delight to sing of the salvation that we enjoy. And we see that the need among our friends and our neighbors. And we think, why would you not embrace Christ? Why would you not see that in Him there is forgiveness and grace? So we have this optimism about what the Lord might do, what our ministry might look like, how things might grow and flourish and be wonderful. And I think that leaves us maybe particularly open to disappointment. We want things to be big and strong and good. And I think it's disappointed with ministry, and it can lodge there, and we become dissatisfied with the work we're doing. That can have all sorts of negative consequences. It can turn into disappointment with ourselves, and we see the problem as me. I'm the one who's getting it wrong, and that can have other consequences. Or, and you touched on this earlier, it can become a disappointment with God. And I think that can be particularly dangerous, because that can just corrode our faith, our trust, our love for the Lord, and leave us cold, distant. It becomes a vicious circle, because if we're not turning to God for strength and joy and hope and purpose, then we're not going to find it. And we're going to end up trying to do our ministry running on empty.
John, your subtitle does give us hope. The fruit of the Spirit includes joy, and your subtitle, How to Know Joy When Life Doesn't Feel Great. And you have a chapter on the battle for joy. So I'm interested in learning a little bit more about that, because, as I say, chances are some listening will be in a disappointment season of life.
Yeah, thank you, Andy. And what I do in the book is I look, I think, at three areas that help us to fight that battle for joy: hope, purpose and perspective, that we have a hope in Christ, that ultimately we know that our disappointments will fade. One day the Lord will return and the world will be recreated as it's meant to be. All the sort of brokenness, that the decay, the death, the futility will end, and everything will be right, and we will understand the beauty and the glory and the goodness of the Lord Jesus. So I think that sense of hope that we're not going to end up ground down, we're going to end up resurrected with Christ. And so I think focusing on that hope, and then on the purpose of God. And I think that particularly there, it's that we know his love and love others, that the calling of ministry leaders is not numerical. It's not how impressive it looks. It's not how good it is on social media. It is to love. And we can achieve that purpose. It will be frustrating, it'll be hard, it'll be costly, but it won't have that sense of futile disappointment that I think can really corrode and destroy our relationship with the Lord. If we are seeing how we're loved by our Heavenly Father, by the Lord Jesus, then we can love those the Lord has set before us. I serve as an elder in a church, I'm employed by the church. So for me, that's primarily the church family and then my neighbors around me as well. And that sense of love means I know what to do. I know what I'm not meant to be growing the church big. It'd be wonderful if the Lord saved many, but that will only come about through love, through loving the lost. It would be great if the church sort of flourished in lots of ways, people growing in Christ. But again, my part in that is to love. And that will look like teaching and equipping the saints for works of ministry. It'll look like conversations. It'll look like fixing things in the building, in our case as a small church. It'll look like all sorts of things, but that purpose of love is something that the Lord has given us. He gives us the grace to do it, and it is achievable in Christ. It's impossible without him. You can do some impressive things without loving people, and you need the Holy Spirit to love people, but it is a purpose that our life is meant to be shaped around. And then I think the perspective that God is the one who knows the end from the beginning. He is the one who is working. He is the one who gives us all that we need in Christ, every blessing in the heavenly places, that actually disappointment can often come by looking too much at ourselves and weighing our life against others, rather than looking at the Lord and seeing that in his sight, we are children who are dearly loved. We're not employees who must achieve to matter. And that sense of who we are in God's sight, and then how he views the ministry he's given us, that he knows what he's doing, gives us what we need. He calls us into ministries that he would have us serve in, by love, not by achievement.
Oh, thank you, John. That's enormously helpful. Did you find any authors of particular help as you prepared for the book?
There's one, it's a little thing. Martin Luther, the German reformer, he wrote about struggles. The German word, I don't know much German, but this word apparently is hard to translate. So it's Anfechtungen, and it can mean struggles or trials or temptations or disappointments. It's a very broad term. And one of the things that he said about this was that we can look at our problems, our Anfechtungen, and we compare them to other people's. And with disappointment, I think that what that tends to mean is I've got nothing to complain about. So I look at my life and I go, actually, it's pretty good. So I can't really complain. I just need to shut my mouth and get on with it. And Luther said, no, don't do that. Because God has given you your particular struggles that you might grow in Christ through them. So our little disappointments, our marriage isn't quite what we hoped. Our family life isn't quite what we hoped. The holiday was okay, but it rained on the last 3 days. Our little disappointments are not things that we should shove aside because they aren't great suffering. We should go, okay, how do I see Christ in that? Why did he allow that to come into my life? He's put that pebble in my shoe for a reason. Maybe it's just that I depend on him more. Maybe it's just that I remember that I am but dust, that I am weak, and that I need a God. Maybe it's to help me understand some of the deeper disappointments of members of the church, that I might react with greater love when they come and talk to me. We don't necessarily know, but it's that sense that actually our situation is given to us by God so that we might know him and love him, not so that we might grumble. But I think if we compare to others, yeah, I found that a really helpful idea.
Yeah, I guess it's the Romans 8:28, which sometimes is used glibly, but it's still a great reality. In all things, God is at work for the good of those who love him and called according to his purpose. That perspective, which really does transform the minutiae of life.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I love that you said that, Andy, because I think the fact that it can be used glibly sometimes means we don't meditate on it. And yet there is a depth in that verse that is such a blessing when we are struggling. Yeah.
John, it has to be said that disappointment is the reason why some Christians in leadership move away from the project or church or charity they're engaged in. You know, many surveys of church leaders will tell you that many want to quit. And that's apparently post-COVID, numbers have increased. And some who are listening to this may be contemplating doing that. And of course, it may be in God's providence that that's right. But what would you say to people who have faced disappointment and are thinking, actually, I'm really not sure I can carry on?
Yeah, I totally get it. You know, I think we all understand that feeling. We all have it. You know, the days when you think, oh, I wonder if I could. I used to be a bank cashier before I was a minister. And I sort of look back to the days when at the end of the day, I could see my till had balanced. And, yes. You weren't allowed to take your work home with you. You got in trouble with that. You were done. You were done. You balanced your till, nothing more you could do. And it was simple. And I kind of sometimes look back on that and you think, oh, maybe I should go back to that. I get it. I think that, and I've increasingly thought this since even writing the book, we are small, we are weak, we are struggling. And to be in that place it can crush us, and we see that. It can make us bitter. There's a terrifying verse in Isaiah that says, from the one who is crushed, the viper hatches. I think we see some Christian leaders who become bitter and they take it out on the people around them. But it can also make us more dependent. I think as we see that we haven't got it, the longer you're in a place, you've used all the great sermons you've got, all the books you know the best to preach through, all the ideas that seem to work. And after 8-10 years, you think, well, maybe if I go somewhere else, it'll be a bit easier. And it probably will be, because you can use all those great ideas again, and you won't have the difficult relationships that have been tricky for a few years. And, you know, but in those difficult relationships, you can be gently, faithfully sharing Christ. And the more you realize you can't fix people, the more you realize you can't be a savior to the people around you, the more you realize that you are not uniquely gifted or able or competent, I think the more dependent you become. And you cry out to the Lord, and you need to find fellowship to do that. You need brothers and sisters in church family, more widely. You know, I get how hard it is personally, and I'm talking with friends. But I think there's a beauty of saying, Lord, I cannot do this. I have come far beyond the end of myself and my tether. You know, I am weeping over my own folly and the folly of those around me. But Lord, I know you can. I know you can do this. And I want to be here while you do it. And I I hope I don't say that glibly, because that is not easy. But I think there is a fruitfulness and a glory to Christ that comes from an enduring with joy, with the Spirit, with love, with peace, even when everything in us says, oh, I would just like to run.
No, but thank you. That's some wise words there, John. Thank you. John, as you reflect on the book, I know it was a little while ago since you wrote it. Was there a chapter that was particularly challenging for you to write?
That's a good question. One of the things that was very challenging, I remember my editor saying, could I give some more personal sort of illustrations and examples? I said, well, not really, because the problem with disappointment is a lot of it is disappointment with people. But by its nature, it's not the kind of big thing that you necessarily feel you have to talk to people about. So it's quite hard to write a book saying, I'm really disappointed in this friend.
Yes.
Just because they've not quite been everything I'd hoped they'd be over the years. Because it's, yeah. So it was hard to write, to try to get that balance right. I think that in some ways that looking down at it, the hardest to write was about my disappointment with God. I think I found it hard to acknowledge that I sort of made an idol out of the Lord and treated him as one who should deliver a sort of, in my case, success in ministry. And I didn't expect a mega church, but I just wanted more. For the first few years of the church in Norfolk, it was very slow. It was very hard. I remember saying, like Jeremiah to the Lord, Lord, you have deceived me. You've called me to something you've not equipped me for.
Yeah.
And I was, what the Lord was doing, I think, was humbling me and calling me to a greater dependence on him, less reliance on myself. But at the time, I felt like he was deceiving me. He was calling me to something that I couldn't do and that wasn't fair. And I was angry with him, disappointed with the way he treated me. And what I'd done, yeah, is I turned him into an idol. If I say the right prayers, press the right buttons, the Lord will deliver a glorious ministry in which I shine. And it was hard to realize that the problem wasn't with him, but was with me, and that I had got too small a sense of his glory and his goodness.
Well, John, you stuck with it. And I don't know how many years since that feeling was.
Gosh, yeah. About 12, 13, no, 10, 12 years. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you stuck with it. So bless you for that. And you're encouraged now in the ministry there?
Yeah. Yes and no. As in it's really hard. I was just reflecting with my wife this morning, I feel overwhelmed by just the number of sad and hard situations and conversations that I'm in at the minute with suffering in the life of the church family, and it's really hard. And it was funny, I was thinking about this interview thinking, oh, I'm not sure I've got anything to say because it does feel very hard. But I think over the years I've realized that it's not a place I enjoy being, but it makes me pray and it makes me open the Bible and it makes me seek Christ and recognize that I just can't do this. It's not enough even to ask for wisdom. I need to ask him to intervene, for him to work, for the Spirit to move hearts and souls. So I guess the answer is yes and no. I'm in one sense not encouraged. There's lots that's discouraging, but I hope and I pray and I keep trying to hold on to that Christ is light, that he's coming back, that he is full of kindness and mercy, that the cross tells me about how God loves me, not the inbox. And I've got to hold those in the right place.
Well, John, your candor and your honesty will be an enormous blessing to people. So thank you so much for all you've shared and for the book. How can people get a copy?
It's published by the Good Book Company. So their website will probably be easiest place to get a copy, and the ebooks there, I think, are about as cheap as you'll get them anywhere. But bookstores, online websites will have it as well. But yeah, that'd be good.
Well, this conversation is going to be an enormous blessing to people, particularly if they're facing this level of disappointment that you've shared in the book. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. No, thanks for having me.
That was my conversation with John Hindley, the author of Dealing with Disappointment, How to Know Joy When Life Doesn't Feel Great. And it's published by The Good Book Company. If you're in the depths emotionally because of disappointment, I hope this conversation has been of support. And as John suggested, you can find people to talk with and pray with so that your spirits are lifted and you're able to gain fresh vision as you pick up your leadership pen and with God, write on the blank sheet that is the future. So may God give you hope and vision for the next stage. So this is Andy Peck, thanking you for your company and looking forward very much to joining us again. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.